Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Sure, pour me a cup, Gracie.
You know, Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
And that drop's good, too.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Bill Goodwin, the music of Meredith Wilson, Mel Blanc, and our guest star, Eddie Cantor. T'was the day after Christmas, and in the Burns house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Oops, my mistake. George is stirring.
You know, Gracie, I just can't get over this beautiful Christmas present Eddie Cantor gave me. $110 smoking jacket.
Yes, it's hard to believe, all right, but there's the price tag hanging right on it.
That was probably an over. Well, I don't care. It's a beautiful gift. Boy, $110. I'll bet that's more than he spent on Ida.
Well, of course it is. He got her for nothing.
I meant that's more than he spent on her Christmas present.
Something awfully strange about this, George. It's not like Eddie Cantor to spend all this money.
Well, I guess he figures he can't take it with him.
Judge, if Eddie can't take it with him, he'll find a way to send for it. There's the door. I'll answer it.
Gee, $110 smoking jacket. No more of those 2-for-nickel cigars while I'm wearing this. From now on, I smoke only Royal Havana Super Deluxe King Specials. 3 for a dime.
That was the delivery man, Judge. Look, someone sent you an Erector set.
Erector set?
Uh-huh.
That's a child's toy. Somebody's trying to rib me. What does the card say?
It says, to little Georgie Podgy from Santa Claus.
Oh, fine.
George, did you write Santa Claus a letter?
This is not from Santa Claus. It's from somebody who wants to pull my leg.
Oh, that's your tailor. He's always wanted to get your legs even.
My legs are even. Some wise guy. Anyway, this Erector set just makes me appreciate Eddie Cantor's gift all the more. $110 smoking jacket. Now, there's a present.
Oh, well, don't feel so bitter about this Erector set, dear. Maybe it'll be lots of fun. Look at the things it says you can make with it. A teeter-totter?
Oh, jolly. Won't the fellows at the cigar store envy me when they see my teeter-totter?
Well, now just a minute.
I'll hide it behind my back and say, guess what, fellows? And they'll say, golf clubs? Fishing tackle? And I'll say, no, a teeter-totter.
Answer it, dear. You played with your Erector set.
Play with it, my foot. I wouldn't touch the silly thing.
Good morning, Lizzie Mern. Here's your mail.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Postman. Well, how do you feel? Did delivering all that Christmas mail wear you out?
Oh, yeah. My feet have blisters that belong on a B-29.
Oh, you poor man.
I delivered more mail than Bing Crosby's obstetrician.
Well, I hope Santa Claus is good to you. Was there something nice in your stocking yesterday morning?
Yes, but there was something horrible in my wife's stocking.
Oh, what was it?
My wife. How about your Christmas, Mrs. Burns? Was the jolly old gentleman with the big tummy good to you?
Oh, George is always good to me. This year he gave me a lovely gold bracelet. I picked it out myself.
Then it wasn't a surprise?
Well, it will be to George. He doesn't know about it yet. And right now I don't dare tell him. He's in a pretty bad humor.
How come?
Oh, some practical joker gave him a child's toy for Christmas. One of those Erector sets. George is furious.
I pulled a similar joke on my wife Bertha one Christmas. I gave her a broom.
Well, what's wrong with giving your wife a broom?
It had a saddle and stirrups on it. Bertha was mad as a hornet.
Well, I'll bet it handed you a laugh.
Laugh? I thought I'd die. And so did the doctor. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Burns. You remember, keep smiling.
Oh, just mailed George just a few late Christmas cards and... Why, George!
I made a teeter-totter. And I did it in 6 minutes flat.
Oh, I'm proud of you, darling. Only 6 minutes? Why, it says right here in the box, to make a teeter-totter should take the average child about... Well, it's new to you.
What does it say the average child should take?
30 seconds.
Well, anyway, this thing is sure a lot of fun. And now I'm going to start a steam shovel. Come in.
Mr. Burns?
Yes, what is it, son?
I believe you've got my erector set by mistake.
Huh?
My name is Georgie Lemaire, and I live across the street. And the delivery man says he got the wrong house and left it here.
Oh, we're sorry it happened, little boy. Put it in the box, George, and give it to him.
Wait a minute. Look, kid. How would you like to have a nice smoking jacket? $110 smoking jacket.
No, sir, I want my erector set.
Well, give it to him, George.
But, kid, look. This smoking jacket is from Eddie Cantor.
Who's he?
Who's he? Tell him, Gracie.
Why, Sonny, Eddie Cantor is the man who... He tells all those... He's the biggest... Give me a record.
Now, look, kid, can't we make a deal? This is a beautiful smoking jacket.
I want my record set.
Oh, all right. But let me finish the steam shovel first.
By then, he'll be old enough for the smoking jacket.
Never mind. How about it, kid?
I want my record set.
Now, look, I wouldn't want to use force on an eight-year-old. But I'm going to finish that steam shovel if I have to throw you down and sit on you.
No, you're not. You give me that.
Now, let go of that. Let go.
Oh, shame on you, you bully. You let him up this instant. Now, you take your erector set and go home, Sonny. Did he hurt you, George?
Smiling at me, nothing but blue skies do I see. You know, Meredith, I guess that's one of the gladdest and happiest songs I've ever known.
That it is, Bill. And with New Year's Eve less than a week away, it's mighty timely, too. New Year's Eve. That's the great American night for ringing out the old and ringing in the new.
Yippee.
Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on.
Yes, Meredith, it's one night in the year when all of us can see that silver lining. When hope and optimism and good cheer are really riding high. Makes you understand why the celebration of New Year's Eve is such a happy and joyous part of the American scene. And that brings to mind how Maxwell House coffee is a very real part of the American scene, too. We Americans love coffee, have made it our national drink. And more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee at any price. North, east, south, and west, it's Maxwell House wherever you go. Flavors behind this great popularity story, of course, the rich, vigorous Maxwell House flavor that results from the masterful blending of these selected Latin American coffees. Manizales for mellowness. Medellins for richness. Other fine coffees for vigor. Up to great coffee at its flavor peak. So, friends, why not enjoy the very best in coffee goodness, coffee pleasure? You can for just a fraction of a penny more per cup than you'd pay for the cheapest coffee sold. Next time, say, Maxwell House, always good to the last drop.
Don kid. He would have to come after his erector set just when I was getting interested.
Oh, well, never mind, Dad. You'll get over it.
But I wanted to finish that steam shovel.
Oh, well, there. Mama will make some ice cream and let you lick the dasher.
Oh, stop. Just because I happen to enjoy building things. Come in.
Hello, all.
Hello, Meredith.
Hello.
Well, what's wrong with him?
Somebody took away his erector set.
Oh, well, George, I don't have an erector set, but I'd be glad to lend you my set of tiddlywinks. Although it's not quite complete.
Look, Meredith.
All the winks are there, but in the excitement of a recent game, I broke my red tiddly.
Meredith?
Or, you might be interested in a Cupid doll I have, which, when patted on the stomach, says Mama.
No, I'm not interested.
Would you care to hear how I got that Cupid doll?
No.
It was at the Saragorda County Fair back in 1928. There was a booth there where for a nickel you could buy three baseballs, hurl them at assorted knickknacks, and keep whatever knickknack you knocked over. I purchased three balls and let fly with the right goodwill.
And you knocked over the Cupid doll?
No, I knocked over J.C. Tolliver, a local apothecary. He was at a nearby booth eating hot buttered popcorn.
My goodness.
Undismayed, I cut loose with the second baseball.
Oh, and that time you got the Cupid doll?
No, got J.C. Tolliver again. He was bending over to pick up his hot buttered popcorn.
Show me how he was bending over, Meredith.
Like this, George.
Ow! Goodbye, Meredith.
Goodbye, all.
Oh, yes. You see, tiddlywinks. All I want is an erector set so I can build a steam shovel.
And unless you get one, there'll never be an end to this. You wait here.
Gee, Gracie, you shouldn't have done it.
Well, George, I knew you wouldn't be happy until you had an erector set, so I went to the store and got you one.
Boy. Hey, where'd you get the money?
I traded a smoking jacket for it.
You traded Eddie Cantor's $110 smoking jacket for this erector set?
That smoking jacket didn't cost $110, dear. I talked to the man Eddie bought it from.
But it had a big price tag on it.
He bought that from the same man.
He's exaggerating. Besides, I don't care what Eddie paid for the jacket. It's the spirit of the gift that counts. Now, you go right back to the May Company and get it.
It didn't come from the May Company.
Bullocks?
No.
Broadway?
Uh-uh.
Where?
Laughing Frankie Gordon.
That smiling Frankie Gordon.
He laughs when he so laughs.
Well, you get it back here. No matter what the jacket is worth, it's Eddie's gift to me and I want it. Besides, I don't believe all that stuff about a free trip to Azusa and a set of dishes. Eddie Cantor's got plenty of money and he... Come in.
Oh, Merry Christmas, George and Gracie. Merry Christmas.
Well, Eddie. Yeah.
Eddie, you're a day late with your Merry Christmas.
I know, Gracie. I got caught overnight in Azusa.
What did you give Ida for Christmas?
Ida, oh, a lovely gift. A set of dishes.
I thought so.
And how about your five daughters?
Well, to Janet, the oldest one, I gave a beautiful pocket knife. Then to each of the other four girls, I gave a box of cigars.
Cigars?
Money is no object to me.
Your daughters don't smoke cigars.
Their husbands can smoke them.
But won't the cigars be awfully stale by then?
You... They'll be dead and buried by then. Oh, yes, oh, yes. But enough about my Christmas. Did you get the smoking jacket I sent you, George?
Oh, yes. Thanks, Eddie.
Well, that's all right. What's $110 among friends?
Who said anything about $110?
The price there came off? I stuck it on with a Pabst beer label. Oh, well, as long as I know you got it. Well, now, how would you two like to eat dinner with me, huh?
Oh, we'd love it.
Well, thanks. Now, don't fix anything extra, Gracie. I'll take potluck.
You're eating here?
Well, yes, I want to see George in that beautiful smoking jacket I gave him. Why don't you put it on right now, George?
Yes.
Gracie, run get that jacket.
Yeah, all right. It's in the next room. I'll be back in a half hour.
Yeah. Wait a minute. It takes you a half hour to walk into the next room and back?
Thick carpets.
Oh, yes, yes. let me get it for you.
No. I just happened to think. I took the smoking jacket to the cleaners.
I... Already?
Well, yeah, George got smoke on it. I'll be right back.
Well, look, my car's out front. I'll drive it to the cleaner.
Oh, no. I'm too tired. I'd rather walk. Goodbye.
Gee, I hope she gets it, Eddie. I wouldn't want anything to happen to a $110 jacket.
Look, George, we've known each other for 25 years. You and I, well, we can be honest with each other. That jacket didn't cost $110.
No?
No. I put that price tag on it so as not to embarrass you.
Embarrass me?
How would you feel if you knew I really paid $150 for it?
I'd die.
They say it's wonderful. Our nomination for the best song of 1946, Meredith Wilson and his music. George, is Gracie here?
No, Bill. She's going to pick up my smoking jacket. You know Eddie Cantor, don't you?
Oh, of course. Hello, Mr. Cantor.
Oh, Bill, my boy. How are you? Looks good. Haven't been by to call on my daughters lately.
Oh, well, as a matter of fact, I did call on your daughter Janet last night. You weren't there.
I know. I spent the night in Azusa. Bill, Bill, did you have a good time with Janet?
Well, Mr. Cantor, I would have, but...
But what?
When did she start carrying a pocket knife?
A smart Christmas present I gave her. How was Ida, Bill? Was she lonesome without me?
Well, I don't know. She was out seeing the Jolson story.
Every night Ida sees the Jolson story? She getting passes? Tell me, were the other girls home?
Oh, yes. They introduced me to a game called Break One and Get One.
Break One and Get One?
Yeah. It seems that some schnook gave Ida a cheap set of dishes. And she wanted the girls to get rid of them, so every time I broke one, I got a cigar.
A cigar?
Yeah, the same schnook gave the girls cigars.
I wonder who that schnook could be.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Cantor, speaking of the Jolson story, I think they should do a picture about you.
No. How would that sound, the schnook story? It's no good. It wouldn't work out.
Well, really, I think it's a great idea, Mr. Cantor. Now, Jolson had to have a handsome young fellow named Larry Parks to play his part, but you wouldn't need him.
That's right. I wouldn't.
No, I could do it. You see, they'll photograph me, and your voice will come out of my mouth singing, Ida, sweet as Maxwell House coffee, sweet.
Wait a minute. That's not what the song says, you know.
If it comes out of my mouth, that's what it'll say. Maxwell House coffee is rich, mellow, delicious, the result of careful selection and blending of choice Latin American coffees, radiant roasted to perfection.
But Bill, coffee doesn't rhyme with Ida. That spoils the song.
Oh, you're right, of course. I'll have to change that.
Yeah.
But we'll do it like this. Sophie, sweet as Maxwell House, co-ho-ho-fee.
No. Bill, William, good one.
Well, what's the matter now? That rhymes. It not only has rhyme, but reason, because more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world.
Oh, Bill, stop teasing Getty. There's only one way that song can go, like this.
Ida, put up the sweet as apple sauce. Oh, Ida.
Oh, Ida.
Oh, Ida.
Oh, Ida.
Oh, Ida.
Pardon me for interrupting, but George, did you enjoy working for our sponsor in 1946?
Well, sure.
Would you like to work for him in 1947?
You bet.
How does the song go?
So. Sweet Maxwell House coffee.
That's better, George. Because Maxwell House is the very best in coffee drinking pleasure. Yet it costs but a fraction of a penny more per cup than the cheapest coffee you can buy. That's why so many millions of Americans insist on Maxwell House. These days they know today's coffee buy is Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop.
Now look, if you two think that you can...
Well, I'm back. We can have dinner now. Oh, hello, Bill.
Hi, Gracie.
George, may I speak to you alone for a moment?
Sure.
Excuse us, Eddie.
That's all right.
Did you get the smoking jacket?
Well, I couldn't. The store was closed.
And what's in the package?
Well, I stopped by the cleaners and got your overcoat. You can wear that at the dinner table.
An overcoat?
Well, we'll tell Eddie you're wearing the smoking jacket under it.
He'll think I'm crazy.
No, he won't. We'll open all the windows and get it freezing cold in the house. Thank goodness we live in Los Angeles where you can do that.
Well, that's a big help. Gracie, it doesn't happen to be freezing cold outside.
Well, open the windows anyway. In 2 minutes, he won't be able to see you for the smog.
That won't work either.
Oh, you put on the overcoat. I'll think of something.
Okay. Anything to keep Eddie from knowing you traded in his Christmas present.
Dinner's on the table.
Oh, swell. I can't wait to see George in that smoking jacket.
Well, there he is.
Yeah, he's wearing an overcoat.
Well, naturally. We're having a cold meal.
Yes, I'm very sensitive to heat and cold.
What does he wear when you have a hot meal?
I don't know. Ladies aren't allowed.
You like this meal, Eddie? Sliced bologna? Cold chicken?
Yeah, oh, the chicken's another reason for the overcoat. It saves wear and tear on the tablecloth.
How?
Well, he can stick the bones in his pocket.
It's neater that way.
Chicken, Eddie?
Thanks. It seems a shame to cover up a $200 smoking jacket.
The last time you mentioned the price, it was $150.
What a memory. Well, there were a few extras. Special buttons, fancy buttonholes, a $10 tip for the boy who delivered it.
Bologna, Eddie?
Only the part about the tip. Oh, you're passing the bologna. Thanks.
Whatever it cost, Eddie, I really appreciate it.
Well, don't mention it, George. I'm just a generous, open-handed type that loves to do things for my friends.
Applesauce, Eddie?
You're asking me to have some?
Yes.
Oh, in that case, thanks. As I was saying, George, I'm the generous type, and I never expect a favor in return. When I bought you that smoking jacket, I had no idea that I'd be asking you to appear on my radio program next Thursday night.
Applesauce, Eddie.
I just took some.
This time I'm not asking you, I'm telling you.
Well, how about you two coming on my show next week? I can arrange it so you won't have to pay any income tax.
That's great. How can you do that?
It's simple. I won't give you any money. But for old time's sake, what do you say, kids, huh?
Okay, Eddie, we'll be on your program. Let's get to work on the script. I'll take off my coat.
No, don't, George. No, don't take the coat off. No, no, no.
Hey, wait a minute. There's no smoking jacket under that overcoat.
George, you've been robbed.
Huh?
The thief must still be here. Don't leave this room, Eddie Cantor.
Gracie Allen, I did not steal it.
Oh, it's no use, Gracie. We might as well confess. Eddie, we traded the smoking jacket in for an Erector set.
An Erector set? For that $300 smoking jacket? That came with gold buttons and velvet lapels and silk lining that lit up
and
with neon signs?
A set of dishes and a pocket knife?
And a round trip to Azusa? Oh, you know about that.
Eddie, we know the jacket cost $10.
Gee, I'm sorry. Kids, naturally, now I can't ask you to appear on my program for nothing. Honestly, I feel terrible.
Well, why don't you pass?
No, then I'd feel worse. But I guess it's the only decent thing to do. Come on, you two come over to my house and I'll make it worth your while, huh? Not at all, Gracie. I'll see you and George on my program next Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Eddie.
Goodbye, children.
Well, Gracie, what did Eddie give you?
George, I'll never have to ask you for money again.
You won't?
No. Whenever I want some, I'll just pull this pocket knife on you.
Oh.
Next week, when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, yours truly, Bill Goodwin. The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show is written by Paul Henning and Keith Fowler. Until next Thursday, then, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's number one preferred brand of coffee.
Always
Thursday,
good
then.
To the last drop.
Come on, Gracie, I'll take you to a movie.
Oh, take me to see The Yearling. I'm dying to see that.
Yeah, I understand there's a cute little deer in it.
Oh, I'll say there is. Gregory Peck.
By cute little deer, I didn't mean Gregory Peck.
Oh, Jane Wyman, huh?
No, I mean there's a little doe in the picture.
A little doe? I'll bet it makes a fortune.
Good night, folks, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Eddie Cantor appeared through the courtesy of Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer. And now stay tuned in for Noah Webster Says, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
Don't ever say that again.
Don't ever say what again?
No matter how clean I get my wash, it never looks really white.
But it's a fact.
Not if you blue with La France. La France gets clothes snowy, sparkling, dazzling white.
Always?
Always. Even when you have to dry your clothes indoors, a La France blued wash is a really white wash. And remember, too, La France gets rid of the separate bluing job. You dissolve La France right along with your soap, and it blues while you wash.
Hurrah for La France.
The bluing flakes used by more women than any other.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.